genres, feeling everything. It's more than it sounds, it's life is gold. Right here on Until the Story Unfolds.
Until is on, take the seat, let's explore.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Anthony Taylor Show. I am your host, Ant Taylor. I am in the house today with the one and only, and the way to spell it is R-E-C-C, the one and only Rec. Let's put our hands together and welcome him to the Anthony Taylor Show. Rec, thank you for joining me today. It is a pleasure to have you here. I recently came across Rec, and I heard some of the music. And I said, you know what? This is the opportunity to tap in with some greatness, because what I heard, I'm telling you, y'all gonna dig this. You know what I'm saying? Some good music there. Rec, how you doing today?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you for having me. I'm doing well, man. It's a blessing, other than it being, you know, cold outside where I'm at. But otherwise, everything's a blessing.
Oh, you in the freezing weather right now, huh?
Man, half the world is, so...
That is true. That's definitely true. So I heard some of your songs, and what is your influence in your music? I mean, what's your background? What's your musical influence? Where did it all come from? How did it all happen for you? It's very interesting, the style you got.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. So it kind of actually started off with, like, honestly, the Give It Your Die trying out. Is kind of where the whole attitude for everything came from back then. I think I was in sixth grade or fifth grade when that came out. So that was just kind of the catalyst for everything. And where I'm from, as you know, in the Bay Area, like, pretty much everybody is a rapper out there, wants to be a rapper. So I kind of picked up style from a lot of people, because I just picked up a bunch of engineering equipment back in high school. And, you know, there was 20 people in my house every day. So they're the local people and everything, you know. Inspiration is strong, like, growing up out there. Like, Taji's Bitch is one of my favorites. And then, yeah, he's just the, and then the style I picked up for everything is just kind of, as far as what's out right now, the Tears Before Tratter thing. Tratter stands for the rules of the rules, just because that's how my family kind of raised me on things as far as morals and everything, though. And so I recorded that project, and while waiting for it to get mixed, I wanted to put out all my sad songs and everything, my more introspective stuff. So that was kind of the thing. These songs, I was very emotional writing them or recording them and everything, so they took a minute.
So you mentioned the Bay Area. How
yes, sir.
Does the Bay Area shape you compared to any other place you've been? How does it influence your music?
Well, yeah, I think everywhere I go, people can tell I'm from the Bay Area. Because now I was out there 20-some years. So it's just kind of in you. If you're involved in any part of the culture out there, it's the way you talk, it's the way you walk, it's the way you dress. It's the nonchalantness of things, but also the turn-up energy when it needs to be. It's being quiet and loud at the same time. And obviously the production is, you know, second to none. Everyone else just steals it, so...
So when did you decide that you knew music was going to be the thing for you?
Well, I really love music, and I really actually like the whole engineering and helping people do stuff, because I like seeing that sparkle in people's eye kind of thing. Someone they knew that got a song, or just even like when you see an artist get their first breakout song and you watch that video, you can kind of tell that they know. It's just that look that you get. It's kind of hard to explain. But for me, I mean, I wrote a lot. I was always kind of like a poetry writer kid, so it was kind of awkward. And I was like, well, I'll just rap. Once my voice got deep, I was like, well, I'll try.
Exactly.
And yeah, like I said, it just brings energy to the room, you know? So exactly. No one has a good time. I mean, a bad time around good music is kind of hard.
So what's your creative process like then? I mean, is it, do you like sit back and just like kind of like get into the zone or... and start writing, or just whatever comes to you when it comes to you, you get busy? How's that work for you?
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely, I have a billion voice memos that I've never listened to. So sometimes it's in the zone stuff, but I'll usually get, you know, some packs from producers and go through things, or like I'll catch a sample on something and I'll kind of go research that sound. Like I got really into Bob Dylan stuff recently after that movie came out. So I was like looking up different harmonica sounds and found a couple of different tracks that way. And then when I write, I usually write super quick, and then I kind of marinate it on for a couple or so at least, just to kind of see if I still like it. Because usually everything people write is garbage-ish at first. I mean, if you just one take, you could always do something better. But a lot of mine's freestyle stuff too. I freestyle a bunch of my verses. People don't believe me, but I do, sadly.
So you freestyle it. Do you go back and like fix a line here and there after you freestyle it out? Because that is still a freestyle.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So, yeah, for sure. But I won't label it a freestyle that way. Like, I won't put it like do-to-do freestyle. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. So if I like put the word freestyle on a song, that means I just left it how I did it. But no, yeah, for sure. That's kind of like the going back to influences. It's kind of what Lil Wayne did.
Yeah,
more or less.
Definitely. And he's almost a line for line, dude. You know what I mean? One line at a time, punch it. Four lines, punch it. And I do understand what you mean by that voice memo. Anybody who participates in any level of music should understand how important it is to be able to record stuff on a voice memo. Only problem is that if you really, really, really that creative, you never go back to the voice memos and listen to them. You got like, you know
especially
what I mean?
Especially if you don't name them. Man, I've been going through, I got like 45 with the same name. I'm because it records your address. I'm like, nah, I'm not listening to all these.
It's like new voice memo one, new voice memo two, new voice memo. Like, okay, yeah, I'm supposed to know what that means.
I'm like, I knew the date, but there's 87 here, man. And half of them are like just whispers. Like, was my headphone? Because sometimes I have my headphones on, and then you'll like have the thing on, and you'll rap into your phone or sing into your phone. But your headphones are, you know, on the counter or something.
That's it. Hey, so we're going to get into this Rec song. And Rec, thank you again. Everybody here listening to the Ant Taylor Show, I'd like to welcome you and invite you to go check out my boy Rec.
Ring.
Hello? Wait. Don't jump yet. Hold on.
How you going to tell me to hold? I ain't talking.
Like that?
No, I'm still about to jump.
Wait.
Jump.
Jump. Wait.
Jump. 25-8, we online.
It's not one vibe that I caught. Worth half the time that it costs. In all these arguments fought, because I love these battles I bought. My principles are first. Five ever faded, always flawed. Yeah, I'm the furthest from deserving. Just acknowledge your part. I've been numbing my heart.
Okay, now I said you was wrong.
Found out all my answers, now I'm finally lost. And it scared me half to death, all my angels flowed on. I just really wanna be blind, I'm jealous of y'all. I'm just jealous of y'all. And now my prayers are false, cause I pray you don't call. Cause I'm scared of the call. But I'm here for it, I'm here for it. Westside Suicide Hotline, 25-8, we online. When you call, we gon' answer. I don't know who lied to you, but you matter. Oh, yo. Yeah, yeah, you matter to me. Yeah, yeah, you matter. Oh, yo. Yeah, yeah, you matter. Trappy chapel that started and damaged. Okay, so I don't know how you feel at all. You don't know how I feel at all. Thank whoever that we feel it all. Thank whoever gon' answer your fucking call. It's more than rare, it's less than fair. People could do way worse than I care. We can start it from there. But if you walk in the back, look, you in for a scare. Tell me your name.
You win the pit of despair.
Black Stanley thin, but it's mascara. You heartily there and make it harder to hear. Burn it up or build it down. I'm forever right there. I'm forever gon' care.
Ain't no rain.
And I really don't want to, but I'ma push when you scared. I hope that you fly to, we overcoming our fears.
And I know that you will. Why?
Good afternoon.
Hey, hello, sir, ma'am. This is Jim Bob with the Department of Water and Power. We are conducting a survey today. May I please speak to the head of the household or business?
This is a business.
This is Jim Bob with the Department of Water and Power. We are conducting a survey today.
This is unbelievable.
question one.
This is
how would you describe?
Excuse me, you're not listening to me. This is a business.
Yes.
Yeah.
May I
and
please
there's nobody here right now. There's nobody here. Good afternoon.
I'm sorry, we must have been cut off.
This is a business. You're not listening to me. This is a business, and there's no one available right now.
May I please speak to
there
the
is
head
no...
of the business?
I don't believe it. You're not listening. I said there's no one here to talk to right now.
Okay. How would you describe the service of the water have that you received?
I've got three other lines. I can't talk to you right now. You'll have to call another time. Thank
scale
you.
Scale of 1 to 10.
Good afternoon.
This is Jim Bob with the Department of Water and Power. May I please speak to the head of the household or business?
There's no one here.
Oh, well, question one. How would you describe the service of the water have that you're receiving on a scale of 1 to 10?
You know, you've called three times now, and I've told you this is a commercial, this is a business. It's not a residential.
Yes. We are conducting a survey today.
Good afternoon.
This is Jim Bob with the Department of Water and Power. We are conducting a survey today.
I have other calls right now. I'm real busy. You'll have to call back.
We are conducting a survey.
Good afternoon.
Hello, this is Jim Bob with the Department of Water and Power. We are conducting a survey today. Question one, how would you describe the service of the water?
Sir, there's no one here right now to answer your questions.
I may lose my job.
Jim Bob. No, this is that same guy. Remember that call the last? Good afternoon.
This is Jim Bob with the Department of Water and Power.
I've got three other calls right now. I can't take a survey right now.
I have a quota. I may lose my job.
I have three other calls on the line that I've got customers on the phone.
How frequently do you drink the tap water?
I don't drink it.
Once per day?
Never. Listen to me. I never drink the tap water.
Oh,
never.
If the interview subject answered A, B, or C, please proceed to the next question. Otherwise, end the conversation and thank them for their time. How would you describe the taste of the water?
I don't drink the water. I don't drink the water.
Any detectable odor?
Oh, God.
He doesn't
even... I don't drink the water.
Oh, how would you describe the service of the water had you receiving on a scale of 1 to 10?
I don't drink the water, so I really don't care.
Are there any detectable free particles when you hold a glass of water up to the light?
You know, I don't drink the water. I don't know.
Oh, this concludes our survey.
Okay, great.
Thank you for helping us to provide you with the best service possible.
Okay.
Good day.
Hello, everybody. This is Anthony Taylor. I am sitting down today with the world famous author, Nicole Davis. Welcome her, everybody. Let's get a round of applause for Miss Nicole Davis.
Hello.
So, Miss Davis, it's a pleasure to be sitting here with you today and speaking with you. We're going to speak about your book, Journey to Joy Through CPR, which stands for Conflict Positive Resolutions. Can you tell me a little bit about your book, please, Miss Davis?
Yes. So first, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you all for listening. So conflict, we all experience. We all have either played a part in it or we have been on the receiving side of it. But nevertheless, we've all experienced it. but there's not too many times that you understand how to resolve it in a positive way, to where perhaps there's not an argument or there's not a lingering issue between the parties involved. And so that's what this book is about. It gives you a positive way to resolve conflict, whether it's in your family, whether it's through marriage. It is just God's way of handling the conflict. And sometimes you'll find that you're the problem. And so that's kind of sort of what it points out, is that how we can be the problem. What part do we play? And then how can, because once we correct the part that we play, then that's you're on that journey to resolving the conflict. So that's a little bit about what it's about.
Okay. So basically, it's like there's two sides to every story. Which side do you tell?
Right.
Gotcha. So what inspired you, if I may ask, to write such a book that helps people? Because this honestly kind of helps you call yourself out and re-examine yourself to see if you're a part of the contribution to conflict. And a lot of people probably willingly wouldn't admit their portion of the contribution, I should say, to the conflict.
Right. So what led me to write it is because nobody was like there to tell me, okay, well, Nicole, if you wouldn't have got an attitude and stormed away, you would have heard the rest of the conversation. Or if you wouldn't have assumed this or perceived it this way or took the intent out of what the person was saying, then it would have, you wouldn't have made up in your own mind, okay, well, it went this way. And so I didn't have anybody there. So needless to say, I personally handled conflict incorrectly. I poorly did it, which caused me to handle people in a way that they shouldn't be handled. Cut off people that perhaps shouldn't have been cut off, all because of the way that I perceived whatever issue, whatever statement. And again, we have all been in a place where we've heard something that someone said and they didn't really say it that way. It's just the way that we, by the time it got to our ears. And that's literally the start of it, because of what we perceived and what we thought we heard. And instead of us getting clarity, instead of me getting clarity, I would take it upon myself as that's what happened. That's the truth of what happened. And I'm right and they're wrong and it hurt my feelings. And so I'm shutting them out. Right, and so there's always another way to handle that. And so I learned the different way, and I learned it the hard way, the different ways to handle that. I lost good people. I shut off good people in my life because I didn't know how to deal with conflict and from a perspective where I was at fault. So I don't want anyone else to miss out on those important relationships just because of a perception.
Right. So perception, it steers people in a lot of different directions. Yeah. And some persons, let's say someone who wants, like they're a non-confrontational type person themselves, and they want to avoid conflict, and that also causes them to not confront something that they may have heard or was said about them, and it wasn't exactly true. But since they don't want conflict themselves, they're not even willing to resolve it or face it. Did your book address that? Like, you know, there's some people who are just shy and just say, hey, I'm just going to let it go and leave it at that. I don't want any conflict.
And leave it at that. Yes. The book addresses that as well, because there are unspoken expectations that we have. And so we develop those expectations based off of the people we encounter, the people we know, are in fellowship with and whatnot. And so we think we know their personalities. So take, for example, someone that is non-confrontational, that could be perhaps an introvert. So our expectation is for them to not come and address us and not do and not bring it up and not and that's a wrong expectation, because we want them to, because we don't, if we really want to resolve the conflict, we want people to come to us and be able to say, okay, well, sis, that was wrong, dear brother, that was incorrect or whatnot. And it's very much engulfed in the word of God. And so the Bible tells us that a soft answer turns away wrath. So that's for any personality. You know, if you just speak it softly, you don't have to come and be belligerent to someone or be, you know, just nasty and negative. But you can just come brother to brother, sister to sister, and talk about it, and it resolve it right there.
Just gonna stand there and watch me burn. Well, that's alright, because I like the way it hurts. Just gonna stand there and hear me cry. Well, that's alright, because I love the way you lie. I love the way you lie.
I can't tell you what it really is, I can only tell you what it feels like. And right now it's a steel knife in my windpipe. I can't breathe, but I still fight. Well, I can fight, as long as the wrong feels right. It's like I'm in flight, high off a log, drunk from my hate. It's like I'm huffing pain, I love her, the more I suffer, I suffocate. Right before I'm about to drown, she resuscitates me. She f***ing hates me, and I love it. Wait, where you going? I'm leaving you. No, you ain't come back, we're running right back. Here we go again, it's so insane. Cause when it's going good, it's going great. I'm Superman with the wind in his back. She's Lois Lane, but when it's bad, it's awful. I feel so ashamed.
So I think those unspoken expectations that we place on people, where they don't know that that's the intent and that's how you view me, you know, I think that also aids into it. So just giving everybody the freedom to be able to correct or to bring something that hurts them, or to even ask the question, did I get that right? You know, that's a simple question. Did I hear that right? Did I get that right?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So just creating that space.
Exactly. I have in my own personal life always extended, well, I had to learn to extend people the grace of me misunderstanding them. So I would ask them, hey, you know, I'm sorry. Is this what you are, you know, trying to relate to me? Is that what you meant? You know, and I oftentimes found out that that wasn't the case. And I salvaged, you know, a relationship. I saved a relationship that I was otherwise ready to let go off of my own, you know, lack of willingness or understanding to basically confront it, you know. So did you face any challenges while writing this book? Did it help you learn more about yourself, perhaps?
It did. Oh, my goodness. First of all, I faced the challenge of actually writing it. This is my first book. And I'm like, I am not who, what? And so I just to have to put yourself in a place where you're vulnerable, you're willing to be open. And while I may not say that that was me in the book, or I may have changed the names in the story that I told, it was all things that I experienced, things that I witnessed, things that I encountered. And so that is hard, was hard for me to open up like that for the world to read about, you know. But it was necessary. It was necessary. I believe that when you have the ability to help someone, you do it the best way that you've been shown, the best way that you know how. And for me, I can't speak to every single body, but this book can. So just pushing past that and writing it was hard.
Well, was there an experience or an influence that kind of shaped or inspired you to write this book? Did you come to one day a situation or thought that said, you know what, I think I need to do this, not only to share my experiences, but to help others?
Yes. So I am the go-to person for a lot of people. And so I would get questions and, you know, I'm not a therapist, I'm not a counselor, but I was just always asked these type of questions. Well, what happens when you, you know, are in the middle of an argument and you realize you're wrong? And I'm like, you fess up, you know, and just walking people through those type of challenges. And then I'm like, well, if they had this question, if their friend had this question, if my siblings had these questions, I'm sure that there are people elsewhere that have these questions. So let me put, you know, some of those questions in here and let's try to resolve all of this, you know what I mean, and help people. So that's what pushed me. I just kept getting asked. So it was almost like the book was coming to life as I was answering the questions that I were being asked, if that makes sense.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, it seems like it's truly from the heart. And and it's actually reflective of some of the experiences you have had in life. And, you know, we're all going to have similar experiences in some regards, you know, especially with dealing with one another. We're going to have conflict, and resolving conflict is a very important thing that it eludes a lot of us. You know what I mean? From the nicest to the meanest person, conflict resolution is something that, you know, we almost need a course on conflict resolution, and maybe Journey to Joy through CPR is that course that a lot of people might want to take. It might be a refresher course, because at some points in your life, you may have been better at it or worse at it, but it's definitely a good read, I'm sure.
And if I could just share one other thing. When you begin to read the book, at some point, and I'm going to leave it up to the reader to figure out where, but at some point, the language, the wording shifts, because I also had to pay attention to there are some that are new at kind of getting into reading books and then there are what I call professional readers, and so I try to speak to both. So I kind of segue into using more, I want to say, professional language, you know, in-depth language, because it will show how the growth happens. So if that makes sense. So if you're reading it from one level and you shift to another, you can see that shift, and so that's what I'm trying to get you to see in yourself when you shift into doing things the way God has called you and wanted you to do it, right? And then on the other side, if you kind of know the language and know and it's not tapping into your intellect, the Bible also says that he will use the foolish things to confound the wise. So it reverses, it kind of brings you back to a place of humility. And so it's purpose behind that. So I don't want anybody to think, well, what was she talking about? Why did she shift? Why did she do that? It's purpose. Anything that you do for God, there's purpose behind it. So I want the readers to read it with that intent. Wherever you may fall in your level of reading, just notice that you're going to experience a shift, and just take in consideration which part of the ship you're on. Are you being brought back to a place of humility, or are you kind of what I call leveling up? So just that little nugget.
Definitely.
I just want people to know that if you don't already know that God just loves you, and he loves everything about you because he created you. And so I just, it's from the heart, and it's from the love of God. So don't just read it with an open mind. I know that everybody, we don't share the same religion and things like that, but just read it with an open mind and an open heart, and not so much as a Bible. It's full of scripture, but it's not the Bible. So it's just a help. So I just want to make sure that people understand it's just to help you. That's all. It's not to preach to you. It's just to help you.
There you go, folks. You heard it from the one and only Nicole Davis. Journey to Joy through CPR. Conflict, Positive Resolutions, the number one Amazon bestseller, and Bronze Global Book Award winner. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Nicole Davis one more time. Thank you so much. This is the Ant Taylor Show. It has been a pleasure to speak with Nicole Davis. Make sure you go to where fine books are sold. Look up Nicole Davis' Journey to Joy. Get on that journey. All it can do is help us. Thank you so much, everybody.
Hey, safe to say I'm the biggest, the largest. Been stepping up since my mama stayed in them apartments. Regardless, my daddy told me keep the heat even when I'm in foreigns. I'm heartless, cause these niggas is hating on me just because I'm the biggest, the largest, the biggest, the largest. 30K on my riches for hard times. These niggas just mad cause they in my archives. Jordan came back, throw the 4-5. If you play, then you lay right there by your own kind. Pull up a 4 in a loco, tell them run this bitch back like so-so. Got this rap here in the chokehold. Did a show out in Austin, shout out to Bobo. Moved out the trenches, now look how we live. Tell my BM to furnish the crib. Walk out the mall with some shoes for the kids. Deposit the checks from my bank full of M's. Paid up my rent, now I'm up for the year. The view look crazy from here. What I pay for some dogs could've bought me veneers. Texas piece on my neck could've bought your career. Safe to say I'm the biggest, the largest. Been stepping up since my mama stayed in them apartments. Regardless, my daddy told me keep the heat even when I'm in foreigns. I'm heartless, cause these niggas is hating on me just because I'm the biggest, the largest. Been stepping up since my mama stayed in them apartments. Regardless, my daddy told me keep the heat even when I'm in foreigns. I'm heartless, cause these niggas is hating on me just because I'm the biggest, the largest, the biggest, the largest. Hey.
Snoop and Nelly are going to be at this thing. And I think it really does beg the question whether the culture is starting to thaw to Donald Trump. I mean, are they?
About time.
I don't think so. We definitely saw a lot of people, Sexy Red, others say, he sent me a check, so I'm good with him, the stimulus check. And I understand that there is that crew of people who are like, the stimmy check came, I like him now. Snoop and Nelly in particular are apolitical people and apolitical artists. Like you see Snoop with Martha Stewart, he's like, I fly over. I want everyone to like
me. All right. So I am joined by Q and Angela Ray.
Hey, hey.
What's happening with you, brother?
Nothing much, man. Just living. Happy to be here.
Good. We got Angela Ray back there. It sounds like somebody's twisting open a cork or something.
I'm here.
We are here. And we were just thinking about the impact that a Nelly or a Snoop have on the culture when they go to inauguration events. Should they? You guys think it's okay for them to perform there without any backlash or what? Who wants to go first?
I'll just say I didn't get to see them perform. I had just learned about them being invited just only a few short days prior to the event. So what came after that was conflicting information from what I've seen. So you can do whatever you want. You have a responsibility as an African American. We may hold you accountable for how you represent us. But just as a human, I hold you accountable for what you say. So if you were just berating other people that supported a particular person only a couple years ago, but then you become that person, well, I have a problem with that.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree. I don't understand, you know, they said that it's the culture of warming to Donald Trump, and they made a comment about Snoop and Nelly being apolitical. No, absolutely not. I don't accept that. Snoop made specific comments about Donald Trump, like you said, years ago, and the people that support him. And he was very explicit about that. That's not apolitical. He had something specific to say, and he was stark against it. But But then now, all of a sudden, Trump didn't change. He didn't change his rhetoric. He didn't change his what he was saying about people and what he's doing. He didn't change. So the culture didn't change. Snoop changed. Snoop decided, hey, this is something that's worth, you know, worth fighting for. In other words, because he knew when he did that, he was going to have, you know, issues around that. But he doesn't live in the neighborhoods that are going to be affected by stop and frisk and stuff like that. He's not going to get stopped and frisked. So he doesn't, you know, he's not worried about that. Plus, he's got enough money where he doesn't need the money that black folks are going to give him from the, you know, music sales and stuff like that. He doesn't need it. So, well, this is about the bag.
This goes with what? People were very upset with things that Kanye said in the past. And I will say it probably was not said in the best light. But I kind of understood him at the time. And my biggest issue sometimes with us, when it comes to us not being unified, is that a lot of us can be bought and sold, very much like slavery was. So I can only say that for Snoop to change his mind means that there was a price that he could be bought for.
Yep.
And I do not know why this befalls the African American race all the time, but we are still out here being bought and sold.
He was the ambassador for the Olympics, right? And when it's in Los Angeles, I think that's part of it, is that he's under, you know, if he didn't do it, then that position that he had would be under threat.
Does he have the right to make a professional choice? Shouldn't he be allowed to go entertain any crowd he wants, whether they be it Republican, Democrat, independent, or whatever?
Of course, they have a right.
Income flowing through his household and take care of his family and children the way that any of us have a right to go out and get a job that we desire. So he has a right. And the only thing that I'll say is that just know, when it comes to this bigger picture of race in America, just know that it comes with a price one way or the other. So if you decline, you don't get the paycheck. But if you go with it, just realize there's a community that's going to talk about you, say things about you, and then may not invite you to our community events while you are too busy trying to attend other communities' events. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
There's a backlash that comes with it. That's a price.
I think it makes sense. But I don't think that's a high price for him, because he's part of another community now. So he's not worried about that. But I do think it's bigger than just that backlash. I think the issue with the black community and the minoritized community is that there are people that look up to him because he sort of broke through that ceiling. You know what I mean? Being like the Olympics thing, that's a big deal.
Right.
That's a big symbol.
Absolutely.
You know? And him being able to be himself and not having a code switch and just be Snoop Dogg, but yet be the sort of, you know, this symbol for the Olympics. There's a lot of kids out there that would love to be like, oh, I want to be like that. You know, I want to get, you know, be a symbol for something that's sort of unifying. But he's also leading them in a different direction now in support of somebody that doesn't support them.
So what would Snoop say?
Let me break it down. First of all, I ain't here to pick sides in no political game. And of course, we got General Joe's Crunchy Chicken. Now, this is the crispy, flavorful dish that'll make you want to dance, you know? The crunch is real. The flavor's on point. It's like if Colonel Sanders had a little street swag, it'd be this chicken.
So what I'm getting at?
So what, is this the comedian Godfrey, or is it really AI?
No,
like,
this
what's
is
going on here?
I generated that with AI. So watch.
First up, we got those Boston baked beans. They've got that sweet, smoky flavor that'll hit you right in the heart. You know, the kind of dish that makes you feel all warm inside, like a good home cooking session with your family.
So what I'm saying is that the reason why I did that is because Snoop is a marketing person. He's all about marketing. It's all about branding. It's no longer about cultural belonging. It's about I'm here. You're there. I'm going to do me. You do you. Unfortunately, in between that, like Q was saying, the backlash of the people who actually have to experience some of the things that he's too high up to see anymore are going to be affected. Yeah. Now, Nelly, I don't know what Nelly doing.
You came from those people. You came from that level.
Absolutely.
So, you came from such a level that, you know, you have more insight than some other blacks that didn't live in the hood. Or you came at a level where you definitely understand what people are going through out there. Definitely. But you know, it's bigger than him choosing. And I said this before. It's a character issue when you can go back on your word, when you can berate somebody else so deeply as he did. And then to go back on your word, I would have been more appreciated if he had never said it and made this choice than to have said what he said and then made the opposite choice. The hypocrisy is abundant here.
You know, here's what I liken it to. These NBA players, actually in the NFL players too, but you see the NBA players and they're like, you know, you need to be yourself. You need to do you. If you want tattoos on your arms and whatever, man, you do you. But when you see when they were trying to get into the NBA, they were wearing suits. They were covered up. They didn't have that same demeanor. Once they get there, they're telling these kids that haven't gotten it yet to be themselves.
Exactly.
But it's like, you didn't even do that. You didn't even do that, you know?
It's like a criminal.
They tell them a mixed message.
It's like a criminal on court day. They when they on the streets, they the pants hanging down to their kneecaps, tattoos on their face and neck. But when they get to court, they have glasses on, a turtleneck sweater, a blazer.
Yeah, and a job application in their pocket. I was just about to join the fire department. I had an interview.
Yeah, you caught me on my way. You know? I'm sorry, without being too judgmental on a person's right to do what they feel is okay for them.
That was a Freudian slip. A Freudian slip. Hypocritical is the word that was coming to mind. It pops out of your mouth. I'm telling you, that's it. Hypocritical.
Absolutely. Definitely being a hypocrite. Definitely. And there is some audio, and I think you guys brought it up, of Snoop in 2017 saying things about Trump that, you know, are not very nice. And he even told people, other celebrities, if you support him, then, you know what I mean, you're such and such. As for Nelly, the country grammar Nelly, he has a slightly different type of take as opposed to this, because he goes back and talks about the Joe Biden crime bill and the different things that why Trump are not racist. So his defense is actually ballooning into the wrong direction for him. He should have just probably stayed quiet and said, hey, I'm a performer. I perform for who I want. Because that's what I would have said.
Yeah.
I never even heard his defense, but I think that I would be okay with Nelly, because I don't think he said anything prior, right? It was Snoop that said something prior, but Nelly has been quiet up until now. Is that correct?
From what I know, you know what I mean? But when someone's backed into a corner, instead of keeping the issue, you know, battling the issue where it's at, he went and said, well, Joe Biden this, that. He gave a laundry list of Joe Biden stuff. And in essence, that to me, that's a defense of the President Trump. but he should be defending his choice to not the president, but his choice of performing and saying, like he did say, hey, look, this is the highest office in the land. It's an honor to perform. Hey, man, say that. Be quiet. You all good with me. When you start.
And honestly, I don't think the way I see it with Nelly, we know that these people got to keep their money going. Nelly, he's got to take any opportunity that's being thrown at him. Snoop has options. So that's how I see that.
Absolutely.
Snoop has been crossover audience for a long time, and Martha Stewart took him there. So he's already been in a crossover audience, right? He's done the roasting and all that other stuff. He's already in that space. Nelly, I don't think Nelly will ever be in that space. So it's okay for him to take a gig like this, because it's never going to happen again for him.
It makes sense for him.
Yeah, but you got to say, Air Force One song was hot. You know what I mean? I don't know if y'all remember that.
That was dope. But this is dated material.
Air Force One song. What?
What? Yeah, that was, man, come on.
Is that give me two pairs?
Give me two.
Can you speak right?
Two pairs. Yeah, there you go.
Two pairs.
Yeah, that's how you get down with that. Let me see if I had that for you. This is for Q.
All right. What you got?
You don't remember this?
Yeah.
Nah, I don't
remember.
Hey, man.
My car.
I'm in walking distance, man. When I come up, just hand me the card, bro. Just put it right here in my head. Don't worry. It's a chance to get it back. But it took you a little too long to remember that one, but it's okay. It's all right.
That's right. I hand it out sometimes and get it back.
There you go. Yeah. So mine's my card is two sided. Yeah, the other side is you know. You never know. You know what I mean? I'll pull it out on you in a minute. Well, sir. How you doing tonight? You know.
Exactly. I think we all have a two-card. Mine is scraped up and all jacked up on one side and polished and clean on the other. It's
exactly.
Like a police badge. Just like
exactly.
You know, Snoop is an entertainer. He's an entertainer. Like, what does he know about politics? You know what I mean? He's not apolitical. He has an opinion. He's expressed that opinion to us, but. For me, what is the credibility? Where's the credibility with him? He's flip-flopped back and forth, and now he's supporting somebody that has a criminal record in the White House. I just feel like, why do we even care?
you know what I mean?
Yeah. Why do we care?
I think with this presidency, we do care. People do care who's supporting and who's not.
Well, what I'm saying is he's already shown that he's supporting him. So we already know what we need to know. What I want to know is what Donald Trump's going to do, because he's the one that's got the power. Snoop Dogg, he's already shown his cards. He supports Donald Trump. That's his business.
Dog pound gangsters, please don't kill me. These are just opinions, you know what I mean? Please. don't ride on me. You know what I mean? None of those things.
No kidding. We're not talking about you.
Not at all.
Just people like you.
We
like you.
Lastly, I'd like to thank all of y'all for tuning into the number one station on the air today, The Ant Taylor Show. That's right, you heard it from me, AI Snoop Dizzle, the realest artificial dog you will ever know.
All right, let's go. Blazing mix, super thick, California chick. Photogenic, take a pic, top of every list. Mrs. Make It Happen, doing numbers, got a piss. Okay. If you ain't tried it, I pass like a sis. Yeah, arch your back, toot it up, damn I'm cute as fuck. Cutting off, damn I'm rude as fuck. Yeah, you know it be going down, have him choosing up. He said I'm his gangsta boo, pretty little thug. Yeah, got this to the beat, I look like a treat. But don't you think it's sweet, if I put it on him,
Maybe it's the way that I do me. Is it the way I keep it playing? Is it the way I do my hair? Is it the thighs or the hips? Is it my vibe on my lips?
Jay White, I need a beat, I can't go off on.
Y'all, this is huge. Did y'all see Trump tweet that the parent that pays child support get to file the child on their taxes? Oh my God, this is going to be a game changer. Because my opinion, I think that the person should be, I mean, it should be equivalent. Both parents should be able to file in some kind of way.
Hey, I'm sitting here with Tony Jazzo, man. Jazzo, so what did you think about a father or mother that pays child support can now be considered to get that juicy fat tax return?
So look, I'm going to be funny for a minute and I don't want to be disrespectful. So please don't take this as disrespect. But it's about time real fathers get some respect around these. You feel right. me?
Well, hold on a second. Hold on.
Up and down.
Hold on. All jokes aside, women pay child support too. So it's not just fathers.
Yeah.
It could be any of them too. You know what I mean? And I was thinking
But you
that,
know what?
Go ahead.
You know what? And I was just being funny and being sarcastic. So excuse me for that. That's why I said I don't want y'all to take no disrespect or anything. I just wanted to be funny for a minute. I look at it like this, man. I believe it should be fair for people who are paying child support on both genders, mother or father, regardless, whatever which one, you know, they should deserve a fat tax, you feel me, reduction.
Go be running down to the child support office to get on there, man. I'm going to need to pay that child support because my taxes. Now, me being a father that has children in the household and knowing guys that have children that don't live in the household that they take care of and pay child support on, I'm willing to bet that living with the child is more than twice what they would be paying in child support. Now, I know I might be a little naive, but when you're going to your kid every day asking you for money for this, and this, and then there's a book fair, then there is the ice cream social, and then there are field trips, and then there are new shoes, and then there is the daily, you know, register just ringing. You know what I mean? Sometimes I wonder, if I only had to pay a few hundred dollars a month, or even $2,500, would that be enough money for my child?
That Trump child support stuff, I made it up. I made it up 6 days ago. It's going viral. My video alone has 12 million on TikTok and 1 million on Instagram. But I was just making it up in my car because I said, have y'all heard? Trump just passed, I'm paraphrasing, but I said, Trump just tweeted that if you pay child support, the baby daddy get income tax. What? And I said that, and all of a sudden, then I went wildfire.
You know what I'm thinking? You know what I'm thinking? And I know you feel it too. And I know you feel it too. We gotta break this off. We both got somebody at home we love.
I don't know what I'm doing in the first place. Relationship I'm having in the wrong place. I know it ain't right. Why she got me hooked? I don't know how I'm in love with somebody who's at my walk. Cold won't cause better, cold won't wife. Then go where both freedom. But the day's turning to night. We both see it through the blurry lights. We can't deny the chemistry that we have.
Sometimes the path ahead can feel unclear, and the dreams you're chasing may seem distant or difficult to reach. You may be carrying the weight of loneliness or the pain of losing someone dear, and that makes the journey feel even harder. It's okay to feel sad, to grieve, and to question where you're going. But remember, even in moments of heartache, you have the strength within you to move forward. Healing takes time, and it's okay to pause and reflect, to ask yourself if this is the direction you truly want to go. Trust that the love you've known and the lessons you've learned will guide you. And though you may feel alone at times, you are never truly lost or alone. Your journey is unique, and each step, even in the hardest, brings you closer to peace and renewal. Keep believing in your worth. Embrace the process of healing. And know that with every sunrise, you are moving toward a brighter tomorrow. All right, all right, all right. Thank you for tuning in to the Anthony Taylor Show today. Man, do I appreciate it. I want to thank our guests for being here. And I want to thank you for joining me today on this journey. See you next week. Peace and love to Ann Taylor Show.